All right, we're on. Thanks, first of all, thanks very much for agreeing to talk with us and giving the time. Just for our record, can you just state your full name, please?
My name is Tsebo Nolijingema.
Okay, and Tsebo, were you, how old are you?
I'm turning 18 on December, the 1st of December this year.
1st of December this year. Okay. And have you lived here in this area for your entire life?
Yep.
Yeah? Born and raised?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're almost 18, then let's see. You're born in 89. Okay. Just give us an indication of what are your earliest memories? I mean, what of this neighborhood and growing up here? What are some of the first things that you can remember?
The neighborhood has always been friendly and with people, even though sometimes we have been a sort of united community. So even though sometimes that causes a problem because everyone knows everything about everyone else. So yeah, that's it about this community. Just that everyone knows everything about everyone. So it's a sort of a close community. So not necessarily that everyone lives his life according to the way they want. We live as sort of a broad family.
Okay. So did that mean when you were a young kid that there was always large groups of kids that you were playing with and doing stuff with here?
Yeah. Because in this neighborhood, you are not only raised by your parents. I grew up in this home, my home, and many other homes. Because if a certain parent sees you doing something wrong on the street, they don't just ignore and say it's your parent's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
They try to correct you because everyone is friendly with everyone.
Okay, so what you're saying is when there were a lot of sort of extra mothers and fathers that you had.
Yes.
Yeah?
Exactly.
Okay. So when did you, what were your first experiences in school here? What primary school did you go to?
I attended Palmetto Primary School in Zone 7.
In Zone 7?
Yes.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your early primary school experiences.
It was a bit difficult because we were the first group which were studying Sesotho under the primary school because it was a Zulu and Xhosa school.
Uh-huh.
So we were the first Sesotho group. And the problem started when I got promoted because I had to take Zulu classes while I was a Sesotho person. So, but then primary was really nice compared to high school because at primary level, you don't have responsibilities. You're just a child living your own life. You don't care about what will people think. And, you know, as we grow up, sometimes we consider what people think of us.
Sure.
And the opposite gender, of course.
Yeah, okay. We'll get to those kinds of questions later. Do you remember 94? You were almost five then, huh?
Yep.
Do you remember anything about that part, about what happened there that year?
Not exactly everything, because I was still young.
What do you remember?
All I remember is that I was not yet in school. Yeah, I was not yet in school, because I started school in 96. Then, yeah, I was still a child playing all sorts of games that we play in the townships. That's all, because, okay, and what I remember is the first elections that our parents took place, that our parents had participated on. They were held in a certain church in the main road there. Then we were there. There was a long queue. People had to wait about many hours before they could cast their first votes. Their first democratic votes, of course.
So even if you were five and you weren't able to vote and none of that, in fact, you're just almost now going to be able to vote, right?
I don't think I'm going to.
You're okay. All right, we'll come back to that. But I imagine it was a fairly exciting.
No, I was a bit confused because I didn't know what was happening there. All I saw was a bunch of people, many people, because I remember compared to the 1999 elections, the 94 elections were hugely taken by the people because it was their first time, the first time they had to cast their vote. So all I remember is that it was at night. We were there at night and there were many people, many of them.
And subsequently, Did you study about the elections in school? Do they teach it?
No, not exactly.
Okay. When you first, you said you started school in 96,
yep.
Yeah? Then you went to, how long were you in primary school? 96 till when?
96 till 2002, I was doing
2002?
Yeah.
And then you moved to...
high school.
Yeah, high school. This, give us an indication of what kind of things you learned in primary school. I mean, this is, you're a post-1994 kid, yeah? Or young man now. The curriculum was changing, the way teaching was changing. What kinds of things did you learn in school?
Compared to high school, at primary school level, it is different because they don't only teach you about the academic stuff. See, they teach you about morals, and at those times, there were subjects such as religious studies and health education and stuff. So you learn almost everything about life in primary level. I think primary level is like the foundation of what you become in the near future, because you cannot survive high school if you didn't do well in primary. So basically, I learned almost everything I know at primary level, because at high school, we were mostly concentrated on the academic stuff. Yeah.
And just
on that, it's a bit of a strange question, but do you remember what's the most important thing that you learned in primary school, or what do you think was the most important thing?
I think the most important thing about primary, because when we started the previous syllabus, which is outcomes-based education, there was a subject which goes by the name of life orientation. I think it's still there with this new syllabus. There you learn about real stuff concerning real people. The subject is a realistic one, unlike the physics and stuff, because you learn the morals and stuff. So the most important thing I learned is that everything happens for a reason in life. That's the most important thing I learned.
And how did you, I mean, I know it's hard to judge when you're a young kid in primary school, but what did your, maybe the better question is, what did your parents, were your parents pretty satisfied with the kind of schooling you were getting?
I was raised by a single parent, so.
Okay.
I know for a fact that my mom was satisfied with my primary education and stuff. The concern started at high school level, because high school, you know, there are many things that can come and distract your studies, unlike at primary level where you're always concentrating on your studies. So I think my mom was pretty much satisfied.
Okay, and sorry, just to go back to that, when you said when did your father pass?
No, my father
or you
didn't
just
pass away.
Okay, I'm so just you're just a single. You're raised by a single mother.
Yep.
Okay.
Illegitimate child.
Oh well, I don't know if we'd use that word, but anyway, do you have brothers and sisters?
I have a younger brother. He's about 2 years old.
Oh, okay, so a young brother. So you were pretty much a single child as well?
On my mother's side.
On your mother's side?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know your dad?
Yes, I know.
Do you guys have a good relationship?
Not really. We do have a relationship, but it's not a good one.
Okay.
I cannot say it's a good one. I think often when we try to build a relationship, something keeps coming in the way. So we don't have a really good relationship.
His strict comes in the way, or clash of personalities?
I think I'll go with both, because history does come in the way, and the clash of personalities, because sometimes I feel like it's too late, because he doesn't know a single thing about me. 18 years is a lot of time.
Sure. Did you just start recently?
I knew him when I was about 11 years old. I knew him, but then I didn't know that he was my father. Just knew him as a person who was living around. That was until he moved to the East End.
Okay. What does your mother do?
At the moment, she's unemployed.
She's unemployed. And before, did she work somewhere?
She worked at a certain company called AK Stungatz in Vereeniging.
Okay. So just asking that, I mean, when you started talking about, you know, you grow up in a big family and people take care of you. When you were a kid, I imagine your mother was working when you were younger, yeah?
She worked for a small period of time.
Was she around most of the time, in other words? or
yes, she was around, but then at the time I had my grandmother and my great grandmother. That was before they passed on. So I had three mothers in the same house, so I couldn't worry.
So you didn't feel like you were sort of on your own in some ways? Not at all. Okay. And just tell us, what's the house that you live in? Is it a RDP house? Is it a full bonded house? What is it that you...
No, it's these old houses where white people used to live before the black people came here.
Okay.
These big houses from the past.
Okay.
Yes.
And did you ever, when you were growing up and young, did you ever have a problem, or did your family and you and your mom ever have a problem with... like the basic services and necessities in the house?
I think we did, but I cannot say we were really that poor. So we were underprivileged, but then not necessarily to conclude and say we were poor. We did have problems with the necessities, but when my grandmother and my great grandmother were still alive, they used to provide for us with the pension fund.
Mm-hmm.
So it started becoming harder in 2003 when my grandmother passed away. That's when things got a little tougher.
Okay.
But I'm still surviving, as you can see.
Yeah, I can see that. okay, just going back to school, when you were in primary school, was there any opportunity for you to do extracurricular activities outside of school? Clubs, sports, things like that?
I was a soccer player for once.
When did you start playing soccer?
I think I was in grade 5. Then I quit when I was in grade 9. Yeah.
And why did you quit?
There are a lot of reasons, but the most dominant one, I think, is because the injuries and stuff. And it took a lot of my time because I was starting to become serious with schoolwork, because at high school it is different from primary. So yeah.
Okay.
You take school very seriously?
I did until recently.
What happened recently?
June 2005, I had a lot of external forces that influenced me otherwise.
When you say external forces, do you want to speak more about it?
Yeah, I think mostly friends. Luckily enough, I was not attracted to drugs and alcohol and stuff, but most dominant was the friends and the opposite gender.
And the opposite gender.
Yeah.
We can call them girls.
Yeah, I prefer
or
the word.
As you prefer opposite gender?
Yes.
Okay. Is that what they call the boys, the opposite gender as well? Okay. So... I mean, I think, you know, those are part of all of us growing up in high school, definitely, when our interests become different. But tell us, when you entered high school, when you got into high school, you said things started changing quite substantially. What made you want to take school seriously at that point?
I knew I had no other choice but to take school seriously. I grew up in a very disadvantaged environment, so I knew the only way for me to succeed was to take school seriously, because as I said, I had to quit soccer. I love music, but I don't quite take music as a serious career, because it can last you for about only 2 years. Musicians come and go, so I wanted a stable career for myself. That is why I took school very seriously. For me, it was more of an obligation than anything else.
Okay.
And in your terms, when you were, where were you seeing yourself in terms of where were you seeing your schooling taking you?
I always saw myself as a qualified lawyer. Yeah, fully qualified lawyer. But then when I grew up, there were a lot of options, because when you grow up, sometimes in the township schools is different from the multiracial schools, because you don't get enough career guidance and stuff. So the one moment you want to be a chartered accountant, the next moment you want to be a doctor, sometimes you want to be a lawyer. So I only started realizing my real passion when I was at high school during grade 11, that I want to study law.
And what were your favorite subjects? What are your favorite subjects?
Believe it or not, physics was my favorite subject.
Physics?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it was challenging. I like the most, like, economics and stuff where you have to read physics. We deal with calculations and real stuff. Like, you know, you can calculate the speed of a car and stuff. So it was a more realistic subject.
Very factually based. You could see what you were doing.
Yes.
Yeah? So why, if physics was your best subject, that's quite a far cry from law. So why the shift to saying you want to be a lawyer?
I always wanted to be a lawyer, but then I couldn't take history and stuff. I'm not into reading as such. I loved calculations and stuff. So, but then I know for a fact that when you study law, there's a lot of reading. But then I as a person, you have to know your qualities. I cannot say I want to be an engineer whereby I know maths is not one of my strong points. So I first considered my strong points, and I knew that I'm not showboasting on it or anything, but I know that I can reason very well. So that's one of the reasons that made me want to take law as a career.
Reason, and you also, usually lawyers need to be able to communicate very well as well, huh?
Yeah.
You think you're a good communicator?
I think so.
Yeah? Good. No, yeah, you are. You are. I mean, clearly you can talk about what you're thinking. So just tell us a little bit more about whenever you get into the teenage years, as you say, things, other external factors start playing because those kinds of things become important. Tell us a little bit more about in this community here when you say friends and stuff. What was the pressure on you from that side? Pressure to do what?
The most dominant pressure is alcohol, to be honest. It's alcohol. Because I think everybody in this lifestyle, I don't want to say in this community, in this generation as a whole, when you become a teenager, I think people take alcohol as if it's a prerequisite or something, as if it's a necessity. So I think the most dominant pressure and obstacle for me was alcohol. And of course, girls, but I don't think girls were that really destructive for me because I didn't take these sort of relationships very seriously.
Okay, which is probably a fairly healthy thing to do when you're fairly young.
I hope so.
You hope so, yeah. You've still got your entire life ahead of you, so yeah. If drinking is one of the main issues of peer pressure, as it's called, people saying, no, you must do these things, you've got to do this. What kinds of impacts do you see that has on younger kids? I mean, for even if you're not yourself saying that you didn't, you got involved to a certain degree, but what would you look at and say, the causes or the things that it results in?
I think drinking brings out the id in the people, because we have the id and the ego. The drinking brings out the real person inside their body. So if maybe I wanted, let's say I hated someone, after a couple of drinks, I have the guts to tell him straight to his face that I hate him. So the most irritating thing about drinking for me is that you drink, then you make a certain mistake that can be life-costing. Like maybe you have unprotected sex. Then in the morning you realize what a big mistake you've made. And then it's too late to mend because you find that maybe the girl is pregnant or you have got the disease. So that's what irritates me the most about drinking.
Okay. And I mean, how would you describe in all the peers and people here, the high school students that you've been hanging with for the last several years, what would you consider to be the main problem areas? I mean, let me be very specific. Do kids here talk a lot about things like HIV/AIDS?
To be honest, in this community, no one talks about HIV. The main concern is pregnancy. They're always concerned about teenage pregnancy, not HIV. I think, I don't know if it's ignorance or anything, but I don't often hear people talking about HIV and AIDS. Their most concern is on teenage pregnancy.
From your perspective, I mean, we've heard different people say different things who we've already interviewed. about HIV/AIDS, but from your perspective, why would you think that there's not much talk about it? Even if there may be educational programs at school and Love Life and all those other kinds of things.
Experience has taught me that people are mostly afraid of the truth. People are afraid to face the truth at most points. So in this community, I think it is that problem. People are afraid to hear the truth about HIV and AIDS. I don't think in all these surroundings, I think maybe less than 30% of people know their status in here, because people are afraid of the truth. And sometimes I think it's wise not to know your HIV status, but sometimes it's not. Considering it goes to a point whereby how you take it as a person, whether you think knowing your HIV status is important or not.
Okay, let me
what
ask
do you.
You
think?
For myself, personally, I don't think. I know knowing your HIV status is important, but then sometimes, in most cases, you find that HIV doesn't kill people. Like, for instance, let's say I'm HIV positive and I don't know. I continue living a life, even though it's not so healthy as it should be. Then I go for a test. I found that I'm positive. I start getting ill from the mind, because the mind tells me all sort of things like, you're going to die and stuff. There's no future for you. I start giving up on most things like schooling and stuff. So I think the stress contributes to a person dying before their time. Because we know for a fact that you can live with HIV and AIDS for about 11 years. But people struggle to live with it because of their mindset. So yeah, that's basically it.
Okay. And besides HIV/AIDS, I mean, an alcohol situation, and you said you were glad that you never got into other drugs. Is that, do you see, I mean, from your friend, is it a problem amongst young people in this community?
Not really, because I think the most dominant aspect in this community is alcohol and dacha only. I've never heard of people taking serious drugs like mandrakes and stuff.
So it's not, doesn't feature really much?
No. Not really.
And what about what could generally be called social behavior? I mean, is there a lot of fighting, a lot of aggression, a lot of violence around for young people? Or not, does everybody pretty much get along?
We do get along, but there are times like during parties and stuff, the fights begin when people have had a couple of drinks and stuff. Because like I said, that alcohol brings out the real person inside the boat. So when I'm drunk, I have the ability to confront you and tell you that face to face that I hate you. Or if you've done something wrong to me, like myself, I'm a really quiet type of person. If you do something wrong to me, I tend to just shut up and see where you're going with it. I'm not a type of person who likes confrontation. But when you really get to me, that's when I confront you. So with the effect of alcohol, many people do like to confront others. And sometimes in an immoral way, that's where the fighting begins.
Okay.
And in terms of just this area, are there any areas that you're afraid to go? Is there somewhere that you wouldn't walk to?
Depending. In the evening, I can walk almost anywhere, but at night, it's different. There's a place called Eat Inside, but then, for me, it's...
Called what?
Eat Inside.
Eat Inside.
Just across the railway. It's a bit dangerous for people who are afraid, depending on how many people you know in that area. So the most... The area that I think I fear the most in the Vaal Triangle has to be Zone 13 in Sebokeng.
Why Zone 13?
There's a lot of violence there. And unfortunately, the violence is not mainly of physical one. It involves guns and stuff. So a person can pull a trigger for a simple thing.
And but is it the people in that area, or what makes it more dangerous than anywhere else in the bar?
I think it's the people in that area, because mostly there are these boys that come from the initiation school. They get the wrong idea from the initiation school, because initiation is just a step to convert a boy to a man without spoiling anything. But then they have the wrong perception about it. They think when you go there, it's like when I go there and I come back, I think I'm more superior than other people. So that's where the aggression and the violence starts. So Zone 13 is dominated by those boys who come from the initiation school.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, is it amongst your generation, this young, is ethnic identity any problem? Because in a place like Duval, you've got people speaking Tswana, Zulu, Sotho, all this. Is there any identification along ethnic lines that for the younger generation? Or is that not an issue at all?
To tell you the truth, it's not an issue.
Okay.
It's no problem.
So it really doesn't come into... Yeah.
Zulu, Tswana, Sotho.
Okay.
There's no problem.
All right.
And how does the language... like, for instance, you were saying that when you started primary school, it was a little bit difficult because it was a Zulu school. When you and your friends talk, what language would you speak in?
We speak both Sotho and Zulu. And I think studying Zulu at primary was more of an advantage for me, because now I'm fluent in Zulu and Sotho, and I know a little bit of Setswana as well. So it's an advantage, because I can move to the Northwest without having a problem of language. I can go to Soweto, I can go to KwaZulu-Natal, I think there'll be no problem, even in the Free State, because I can communicate well with the people there.
And you speak very good English as well.
I'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah,
sure.
I think you should. Because English means a lot in today's world, oftentimes, you can move anywhere. Because it's become a global, yeah? So global, maybe some don't like that, but that's the reality of the situation. So, we need to change the tape. Hold on just a second. Okay. Just to get back to, you had said earlier on that up until recently, or about, you know, you were doing well in school and then you got sidetracked. Where are things now for you?
Basically, I thought I was going through a downhill when I got to matric. But surprisingly enough, I passed my matric with flying colors. So I think basically now all I'm awaiting is an answer from the Wits University, an answer of acceptance and stuff. If they take me, then I think things are going great for me.
So when you say flying colors, what did you do well in all the subjects or in...
Except mathematics, where I scored an E on a high grade, so it's not that good.
But everything else you did pretty good in. And what did you do best in?
My home language is Sotho, because when I got to high school, I had to stop doing Zulu and go back to Sotho. And economics, I scored distinctions in both of them.
Okay.
On a high grade.
Okay, can I ask you a question? What subjects did you do? You did mathematics,
physical science, geography, biology, economics, and two languages, which is English and Sotho.
And you did a maths and physics course, right?
Yeah.
Is there a lot of, when you were in high school, were there a lot of people doing maths and physics?
Yeah. I think we were deceived by the word maths and science, because most people will tell you maths is life, science is life and stuff. But actually, when we got to the maths and science course, many people failed dismally.
What was the overall in your high school matric pass rate?
I think about 48%.
48%. And how do you know how that compares to others around in the Vol?
Yeah, the only school that I know for a fact we did better than is our neighbors, Tsepo Temba High School. They scored about 23%. As for the rest, no, they were more higher.
A little higher.
But I think the main reason was that when we were in grade 11, the history students had failed dismally. So they had to push them to matric to only find that the history class consisted of about 70 pupils and only about 4 of them passed matric. So that's where our downfall was. Because with the science and commerce students, we did very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you applied to Wits, what did you apply for?
I only applied this year for law, because last year, as I told you, I thought I was going through a downhill. I didn't even think I could pass matric, let alone score an exemption.
And if you get accepted, if it says yes, you have a place, will you be able to afford it?
Not really, but I'm still comparing my options, because I've applied to a lot of institutions for bursaries and stuff. And fortunately, I found someone who said if they accept me, he should be able to cover at least half of my expenses, like the tuition and books. Maybe I can look for someone else to cover the accommodation and stuff.
All right. Who's assisting you?
A certain... I forgot the name.
You don't have to tell me who, but is it a family member?
No. He's a friend of my uncle's.
Okay. And is he like a businessman in the area? Or?
He's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer in the area. All right. And he's wanting to groom another young lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, earlier when we were speaking, you mentioned something about the ego and the id. Just curious to know where you developed those ideas from.
From primary level, from a certain educator by the name of Mr. Mutsweni. He used to elaborate more about the ego and the id, and that most people, especially us males, we were controlled by the ego. We didn't listen to what we are. We also often considered who we are in the community, not what we are. So that's basically where I learned it from.
Do you know where it's from, actually, the original source?
No.
He'll tell you afterwards. I wanted to get your take on your generation. It's a post 1994 generation. Everything. How do you, when you look at your friends, when you guys sit around and talk, when you hang out on the street corner, when you go do whatever, having fun and everything else? What mostly do you guys, or not guys, girls as well? What do you talk about?
I think the more distracted people talk about parties and clubs and all of those things. A few people talk about their careers and their dreams and aspirations and sort of stuff and those sort of stuff. But mostly, the dominant discussions are on events like parties and stuff. And,
okay.
Planning them.
Which is not, I guess, what a lot of teenagers do anyway, irrespective of where they are. What do you think, if you were to be asked, if you were to be asked to describe kids from your high school, your friends here and everything, what do you think most kids are desiring for their lives here? I mean, where do you think, in other words, their dreams lie, for the most part?
What I know is that in my surrounding, everyone wants to succeed, even though they are not like certain which direction they want to take. But the only thing they are interested in is that it's getting to the top. It doesn't matter whether you go to medicine, law, or what, or even going to tertiary. Some people want to succeed, but they are not ready to go to tertiary institutions. They just want to look for jobs and succeed and stuff, because as I said before, this is a very underprivileged society we're living in. So people want to make the most of their lives. And most of us do it for our parents, because they sacrifice a lot of things so that we can achieve what they want.
You know, in the last few years, society has become much more technologically oriented. So everybody's pretty much got a TV, they've got maybe their MP3, they've got, you know, there's a whole that we didn't, a lot of other generations didn't have. And when you see things on television and on the movies and in the advertising and the papers and everything else, how is it that you, as a kid here, as a young man here in Val, see the rest of South Africa? When you look at kids in Sandton or the high school kids over there, I don't know, somewhere else, what do you think about the opportunities that are existing in this country for young people?
I think all the right opportunities go to the wrong people, because if you can check, most privileged children get the most opportunities, yet they do not use them accordingly. Because most children who grow up getting everything they want, they are not that eager to go forward with their studies and stuff. But we, as an underprivileged society, we go up. You have to work hard to achieve something you want. Nothing comes on a silver platter. So I think South Africa as a whole, sometimes I really think South Africa is going astray with all the strikes and everything. Nowadays, if anyone wants something and he doesn't get it, we resort to sort of boycotts and strikes and those sort of stuff. So I think we are going astray.
Do you think that it's going astray to, like, for instance, there was the service delivery protests a week or two ago, in the Vaal. What's your impression of those?
I think people are getting all the wrong ideas about what to do when you want to fight for what is right. Because people go a lot of wrong ways. They want to do the right thing in a wrong way. That's the whole problem. People don't have the right ideas as to whether how to go about in solving a problem. So that's my own take on the situation. Like the people in Carltonville and stuff, they resort to fighting instead of more appropriate and moral ways of finding a solution.
Okay. I want to ask you, just in terms of, you know, there was talking about societies full of new technologies and so forth. Of all the things that you own, what is your favorite possession?
That's my TV. I'll go with the TV.
That's interesting, because just from what you just said, you were talking about people trying to find different ways. I look at Let me just say, I grew up in a home without any television until I was 18. The first television I saw was when I was like 19, okay? And then now the rest of my life you see television, all these different changes. When I look at television these days, it's a lot of times for me, what comes across is the message that if you can't get something, get it however you can. In other words, you can lie, you can cheat, you can do this, you can do that. You know, how you see all these things. When you look at TV and you look at particularly all the programs, let's say the South African soap operas and all the new local programs and everything, what do you think a lot of kids are being influenced by those kinds of things?
Tremendously, yes. Because a lot of things we learn from the TV, so not all of us have internet and stuff. So everything people see on TV, like in the townships, we do not really concentrate on the age restriction. A movie can say that it can have an age restriction of 16 years, but you'll find a 13-year-old watching, and no one will try to take him to bed or something. So we get tremendously influenced by the things we see on TV. Like I said, with the strikes and everything, since the educational strike, everyone seems to have gotten this perception that a strike can solve almost anything, a strike and a boycott. Because there was a strike somewhere in the area called Donosa. I don't know what the people were fighting for, but they went to the tar road and main roads and put stones there to stop their vehicles from moving. So you can see when I say people are doing all the wrong things to get the right things. So I think they are mostly influenced by the media as a whole.
And what do you think of our government? What do you think of as a young person who I'm sure has been taught in school about the new constitution and the things in South Africa and how those kind of, what do you think about this country and the way it's being run as a young man? Do you pay much attention to that?
I do sometimes, and personally I don't think this country is being run the correct way. Or maybe it's because I quite dislike the president, I don't know, but I don't think the country is being run in, especially the justice system. I don't think it's been run in a proper manner. I think sometimes the law only applies to those who are a bit poor. Like, many rich people get away with crimes, but as for us poor people, we get fat sentences for small crimes. So I don't think and also the education system is it is really, really low, because you can find that in township schools, the standard of education and teaching is a bit lower than that of the private schools and stuff. So I think the government should do more in equipping schools for teaching methods and stuff.
Okay. Earlier, when we were, I think, starting the interview, we were talking about 1994 elections. You said you probably won't vote now that you're old enough to. Why?
Because I think the government is all talk most of the time. They promise, but they do not deliver. So voting for me, personally, voting is like a waste of time. You stay in the queue for 4 hours to cast your vote, yet you don't get what they promise. They promise you jobs, they promise you this and that, but at the end of the day, you get nothing. So I don't think voting for me as such is such an important thing. It was when we thought we were fighting to get a better life. It is better, but not exactly how we expected it.
So, if that's the case, if you're sort of saying that, you know, voting doesn't seem to make much of a difference, the people who go and block the roads, they're going about it the wrong way. How do you think people should change things for themselves if they're not satisfied with their own situation?
I think the most important thing is education. When you get educated, you can get proper methods of problem solving. Like at high school, they do teach you the problem solving skills and stuff. So I don't know if it's us black people or what. Most people like solving problems in a more violent manner. So I think if we were educated enough, we'd find more suitable methods of problem solving.
Okay.
Except violence, of course.
Just out of interest, do you know who your local councillor is here?
I do.
You do? Yeah?
Yep.
What do you think of him? Or is it her, or is it male or female?
He's a male.
Male. What do you think of him?
I think he's exactly identical to the president. He's not in my good books.
When you say the president and the councillor is not in your good books...
They promise and they do not deliver. The president is more of a dictator nowadays than a president. So, as for our councillor, he promises, he doesn't deliver. We've had so many problems. I remember in 2002, he came around to our school at primary level. Then we interviewed him. He since then promised us that he built a sports center for us. 5 years later, there's still no sports center in this area. So I think he's all talk and promises, but no delivery.
Sure. Just one thing. You're talking about going into a law school, practice law and everything. Previously you mentioned about that area over there, zone 11, I think, the
13.
And you're talking about initiates and people come back. What do you, as someone who's obviously thought about these things and thinking about going and practicing law, what do you think about the merger of what we would consider to be the Western way of doing things and the more traditional way of doing things? Does that come into play here in your lives? Because there's a lot of things. I mean, we dress like, you know, you see the guys on TV and dress like them, cars, everything. So there's a lot of Western stuff. But is there any of the other traditional things that, as you as a young person, are impacts on you?
I'm personally not into tradition and stuff, because I don't even believe in those ancestral stuff and everything else. But what I believe is that if you believe in something and you have 100% faith in it, it will work for you. So I believe that everyone should concentrate on what they think is best for them. If you believe that tradition is the way to go with your whole mindset to it. Then if you believe that the Western way is the way to go with your whole mindset. But I pretty much prefer the Western way, even though I do practice some traditional rituals at home, because I come from a not really traditional family, but we do have some rituals, like the slaughtering and stuff.
And just taking us a little bit somewhere else.
Okay, just hang on. I just want to ask one other follow-up question. If you're getting to that stage of life probably where in the next several years you might be thinking about hooking up with a woman, yeah? everything. So if you get married, would you play Lovola?
It depends on which woman I'm married.
It depends.
Okay. If the woman comes from a traditionally based family, then I will pay the Lovola. But if she doesn't, like if I'm marrying a colored woman, no, I won't pay.
Okay.
And then I'm going to ask you, in terms of your life at the moment, and it needn't be someone from South Africa, but do you have heroes?
No. I have role models, not heroes.
And who would they be, your role models?
The person I told you about, the one who's going to pay for my studies. He's a sort of inspiration for me to go forward.
All right. And in terms of popular culture, you know, in terms of you said you enjoy music. So from that kind of world, who would be your people that you strongly identify with?
I think mostly I prefer South African musicians, unlike overseas musicians, because the American artists, I think they promote the sort of the stuff that's not going to build anything for us. They promote pornography and drugs and stuff, all the unimportant stuff. So I prefer the more locally based artists, because when we support them, we are building a more positive future for ourselves. So I don't really like the overseas based artists. I prefer the local artists, like the likes of DJ Spoon and stuff.
All right. Just a last question.
I know DJ
Spoon. Kind of just on the last question in terms of kind of popular culture. You earlier said that you enjoy music. Do you play an instrument or do you make your own music?
No, just sing with my voice, no instrument. But I mostly like singing gospel songs because I'm a regular church choir.
All right.
Yes. Out of interest, what church do you go to?
Maranatha Reformed Church of Christ.
Is that the one down here?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. We already know that church very well. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And do you go by yourself or you go with your mom?
I go with the rest of my family.
Their whole family. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a couple last things. In the one thing that I was interested in, and for people here is, to the degree to which you're saying you did, you know, in music you don't necessarily like so much of the overseas artist, but what do you pay attention to as a 7 or not almost an 18-year-old in terms of what's going on in the rest of the world? Do you care? Do you have any interest in other things outside of South Africa, outside of this?
Mostly I care about things that happen in Africa. As for other continents, I don't necessarily take note unless it's something that can have an effect on me as a person. But mostly I am concerned about Africa, like the stuff that is happening in Sudan and stuff. And therefore, I do pay attention to that.
And where do you get most of your news from when you hear about these things?
SABC Africa on SABC 2, late
at night.
Yes.
Okay. It's pretty good that you're watching SABC Africa. All right. Listen, is there anything that we haven't asked you particularly that you would like to say? You know, these interviews that we're doing and everything are just to more or less capture some of your own life story, what you're thinking about your own existence. And we've asked very specific questions. Is there anything you want to say to us or to anything that we haven't covered?
I think what I need to say is a little bit concerned or pointed to the government and stuff. I think there are not enough programs whereby we are trying to build the youth and stuff. Many of these programs are concentrated on the adult people, and they have the wrong ideas of indulging the youth in all these activities, because I know, because I'm part of the youth don't go along with politics. If you want to involve the youth in the running of the country, don't go the political way. Go the have a strategy where you take them. I have a saying that says, if you want to be the best, then go and associate with the best. So if you want to indulge the youth in something you want them to, go the route that will take you whereby you start by the things they like the most. You can attract them by the things they like the most. Like, you know, like festivals and stuff, concert. You can start by attracting them using those things. Then you can come to the more academic stuff whereby you are aiming at building their self-esteem and stuff. You can advise them, but then you can organize artists and stuff to perform. That's when the youth will come with in a great capacity. But if you go the political route and start pasting ANC logos and APF and whatever, I don't think the youth will come, and you would have wasted time and money. So I think they should have strategies as to whether how they deal with these things, especially concerning the youth, because we are a very sensitive generation. That is pretty much all.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks very much, sir. Thanks a lot. Huh?
Thank you.